जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन 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 यमुना तीरावन छारी यमुना तीरावन छारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन 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 यमुना तीरा यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी 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 जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवराज आचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमद् डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय जय ओम विष्णुपाद परम हंस परिवराज आचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमद् डिवाइन ग्रेस शिल भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय नामाचार्य शिल हरिदास ठाकुर की जय प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की जय ब्रजभूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की जय गंगा माई जमुना माई की जय तुलसी देवी भक्ति देवी की जय श्री हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Text Number 21. Kalim Magatam Magyaya Kshetre Asmin Vaishnave Vayam Asina Dirga Satrena Kathayam Sakshana Harihe Kalim Agatam Magyaya Kshetre Asmin Vaishnave Vayam Asina Dirga Satrena Kathayam Sakshana Harihe Kalimagatam Agyaya Kshetre Asmin Vaishnave Vayam Asina Dirga Satrena Kathayam Sakshana Harihe Mat. Matajis. Kalim, in the age of Kali. Iron age of quarrel. Agatam, having arrived. Agyaya, knowing this. Kshetre, in this tract of land. Asmin, in this. Vaishnave, specially meant for the devotee of the Lord. Vayam, we. Asinaha, seated. Dirgha, prolonged. Satrena, for performance of sacrifices. Kathayam, in the words of. Sakshanaha, with time at our disposal. Harihe, of the personality of Godhead. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Knowing well that the age of Kali has already begun, we are assembled here in this holy place to hear at great length the transcendental message of Godhead, and in this way perform sacrifice. This age of Kali is not at all suitable for self-realization, as was Satya Yuga, the Golden Age, or Treta Yuga, or Dwapar Yugas, the Silver and Copper Ages. For self-realization, the people in Satya Yuga, living a lifetime of 100,000 years, were able to perform prolonged meditation. And in Treta Yuga, when the duration of life was 10,000 years, self-realization was attained by performance of great sacrifice. And in the Dwapar Yuga, when the duration of life was 1,000 years, self-realization was attained by worship of the Lord. But in the Kali Yuga, the maximum duration of life being 100 years only, And that combined with various difficulties, the recommended process of self-realization is that of hearing and chanting of the holy name, fame and pastimes of the Lord. The sages of Naimisharanya began this process in a place meant specifically for the devotees of the Lord. They prepared themselves to hear the pastimes of the Lord over a period of 1,000 years. By the example of these sages, one should learn that regular hearing and recitation of the Bhagavatam is the only way for self-realization. Other attempts are simply a waste of time, for they do not give any tangible results. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached this system of Bhagavad Dharma, and he recommended that all those who were born in India should take the responsibility of broadcasting the messages of Lord Sri Krishna, primarily the message of Bhagavad Gita. And when one is well established in the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, he can take up the study of Srimad Bhagavatam for further enlightenment in self-realization. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Namaha Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So very auspicious day today. It is the disappearance day of Srila Purushottam Das Thakur, His Holiness Gaur Govind Maharaj, and the appearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhant Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. So we begin with the purport. This is like the setting of Srimad Bhagavatam when it was spoken publicly for the second time. And all these sages have gathered with only one motive, that is leaving a legacy for the future generation, setting an example. All of them are acharyas, and acharyas preach by their example. So the only worry in their minds was the age of Kali Yuga, which is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy, is soon going to begin. And Kaler Doshi Nidhe Rajan, it is an ocean of faults, ocean of sinful activities. And how will the people of Kali Yuga be delivered? And they set an example. They got together. Although they were extremely powerful, they could have done anything. They could have left gold mines behind with their mystic power, separate planet for each individual in the world. But that cannot actually take away our miseries, especially in Kali Yuga. So they set the perfect example, and the example was they sat down in one place and decided to hear the most auspicious name, fame, qualities and pastimes of the Lord. And there is no activity which is better than this. sitting and hearing the glorious pastimes of the Lord. It counteracts all kinds of karmic situations. And more importantly, what to speak of counteracting the karmic situation, which is the root cause of suffering in this world. It attracts the all-attractive. One of the names of Krishna is Ajita, one who cannot be conquered. So even if we sit in meditation for thousands of years, thousands of lifetimes, we perform all kinds of tapasya, charity, we go to all the holy places. If you are very talented, blessed, still it's no guarantee that Krishna will be pleased with us, he will be impressed with us. So he's all attractive, he's the possessor of six opulences. Wealth, beauty, fame, knowledge, strength and renunciation. So a person who has everything in abundance, because the definition of God is one who possesses these six opulences in to an unlimited degree at all times, all simultaneously, that person is addressed as God. So Krishna has everything in abundance that everybody is hankering for. So who can attract such a person? But the Sankirtan has so much potency that it attracts even the all-attractive. That even Krishna gets attracted to those who regularly hear and chant his glories. The simplest method. The path shown by Krishna is very simple. The path shown by our acharyas is very simple. We just have to simply sit and chant and hear the glories of the Lord. And that is the process, and that is the goal as well. So what do we do when we become perfect? The same thing continues. So this is the most powerful method. Kalera doshe nidhe rajan astihi eko mahan guna. Although this is the most degraded of all ages, but there is one great quality, and that is Kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangaha param brajet. Simply by the Kirtan of Krishna's holy names. And Kirtan also means Srimad Bhagavatam, because Kirtan means glorification. So this is the simplest process. Kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangaha param brajet. Anybody who will be engaged in the Sankirtan of Krishna's holy name, fame, qualities and pastimes, that person will easily be able to surpass the influence of Kali Yuga. Quarrel, hypocrisy, disagreement. And wherever Krishna's glorification is going on, that place will have no hypocrisy, no disagreement, no quarrels. And even if there are, because of people's shortcomings, they'll be able to sail through easily. So there is nothing within the creation which cannot be accomplished simply by sitting in one place and doing Sankirtan. So this is totally contrary to what the material world teaches, or people nowadays teach. You have to work hard, run around, be passionate, achieve your dreams. And our acharyas say, the Srimad Bhagavatam says, don't run around, sit in one place and everything will be supplied. Everything will be accomplished. Ananyas chintayanto mam ye janah paryupasate tesham nitya abhyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. So those people who engage in the devotional service of the Lord, which simply means hearing and chanting, rest is a detail. So Krishna will personally supply all their needs. And if we try to accomplish things on our own, then it is just between us and our destiny. And destiny is superior to our endeavor, our place of action, and superior to us also. But there is only one factor which is superior to destiny, and that is the grace of the Lord, the will of the Lord. And by engaging in hearing and chanting of the Lord's name, fame, glories and pastimes regularly, we access that grace by which we are able to accomplish everything. Srila Prabhupada, he established everything based on only one principle, Sankirtan, chanting the holy names. Many times he was asked, that how did you manage to do this? Within like 10, 12 years, he established a worldwide movement at the age of 70. And Prabhupada's answer was simple. Once during a walk, somebody asked him, Prabhupada, how did you manage to do this? And Prabhupada simply said, he pointed to his bead bag. He said, the secret is in the bead bag. One businessman in Kolkata, he asked Prabhupada, Swamiji, how did you do this? Because he was thinking from the business point of view. In 10 years, he established a worldwide business. He was thinking. So how did you do this? Prabhupada said, Hum America gaya, Hare Krishna kiya aur sab ho gaya. So he didn't get it. He didn't understand this. He said, no, ye aapne kiya kaise? How did you do this? Such a big empire. How did you create? He said, Hum America gaya, Hare Krishna kiya aur sab ho gaya. And he still didn't get it. So that is the difference between a great soul and an ordinary soul. The extreme degree of faith in the holy name. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he writes that in the 14 worlds, he doesn't see anything else other than two realities, the soul and the holy name. And it is the greatest friend of everyone, the greatest. And 24/7, Krishna has made himself accessible in Kali Yuga. Because whenever there is an emergency like ICU, so there are 24/7 doctors available. Because anything can happen any moment. So Kali Yuga is like that situation, emergency situation. So Krishna has to appear in his most merciful form in which he is accessible 24/7. And that is his name. Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. So Krishna has descended again, but in his most merciful form. So this is the simplest process. And there is nothing within the entire creation which cannot be accomplished simply by sitting in one place, hearing Bhagavatam and chanting the holy names. And even Lord Brahma does this. He is reciting Bhagavatam every day. Lord Shiva does this. And Lord Vishnu also does this. And Mother Lakshmi also does this. The four Kumaras are doing it. Anantashesh does it with his thousands of mouths. Every moment he is reciting Bhagavatam. So when we come together to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, discuss Srimad Bhagavatam, we are counted in the same category. So something which is inaccessible even to the demigods is given to us by the Acharyas. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and our previous Acharyas. And most importantly, by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is the month of Gaur Purnima. So the most holy tithi of the year is the Gaur Purnima. We celebrated one more, Nityanand Triyodashi, some days back. And Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur writes that anybody who celebrates these two tithis, he will definitely become an eternal associate of the Lord. And why are these two tithis most important? Because these two tithis mark the appearance days of the two most merciful manifestations of the Lord. Parama Karuna Pahu Dui Jina Jana Nitaya Gaura Chandra. Parama Karuna. Why? Because Sab avatar sar shiromani keval anandakanda. Because the process that they are giving is simply joyful. Eat, dance and sing. Eat Krishna prasad, sing, participate in kirtan and dance in kirtan. So something that people like to do in Kali Yuga, if you can just dovetail that propensity towards Krishna, then that can be easily achieved. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has not come to change anything. Lord Krishna, when he came as Krishna, he demanded surrender. Then he would give mercy. When that washerman in Mathura refused to give some clothes to Krishna, Krishna immediately cut off his head. But as Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they have come, same Krishna Balaram, not to take away anything, just to give, not to change anything. But they say, do whatever you like to do, but just in a different way, consciousness. change the consciousness. So utilizing our propensities, the Lord wants to engage us. Yukta Vairagya. And we can only imagine if Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami Ji, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, if they had not given the principle of Yukta Vairagya, what would we be doing at this moment? Srila Prabhupada took this Yukta Vairagya principle to another level. Before him, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was the first one who actually applied this principle. We'll discuss about him also today, because today marks the disappearance day of Srila Purushottam Das Thakur. He was a very, very close associate of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And he was known as the 10th Gopal. He was the incarnation of a cowherd boy. And as we all know that all the associates of Lord Nityananda, they were cowherd boys. And they had very strange ways of preaching. And weird ways of giving Krishna Prem, like Abhiram Thakur. How would he give Krishna Prem to people? He had a hunter named Jai Mangal. And he would hit people with that, and people would just jump in ecstasy. And if he hit twice, they would just jump further. And sometimes they wouldn't be able to take the third hit. So, and sometimes he would just run into the forest and pick up a log or would start playing flute. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told them to go to Bengal to preach, the whole party started. They were just dancing, singing, and then they would ask the way to Bengal. They said, it is nine hours that side. You're on the wrong path. They would just simply laugh. Gadadhar Pandit, Gadadhar Das, one of the cowherd boyfriends of Krishna, who appeared as Lord Chaitanya's associate. He was also with Nityananda Prabhu. And he would stand in one place for 9 hours in a threefold bending form and playing his flute. Chaitanya Das, he would just jump on tigers and slap them and ask them to chant Hare Krishna. So this is the kind of kirtan party Nityananda Prabhu had. Gadadhar Das sometimes just walk into Kazi's house and shout at him, chant Krishna's names, Kazi. And this is the kind of... So Purushottam Das Thakur was non-different. So it is said once he just, in his ecstasy, he drank poison. And nothing happened. So he was the son of Sadashiv Kaviraj. And who was Sadashiv Kaviraj? So all the associates of Krishna appeared in Lord Chaitanya's Leela. So he was the incarnation of Chandravali Gopi in Golok Vrindavan. And his son was Purushottam Das Thakur, whose son was Kanu Thakur. So when Kanu Thakur was born, Purushottam Das Thakur's wife, she just passed away. So Nityananda Prabhu took Purushottam Das Thakur's son, because he was so dear to him, he took his son Kanu Thakur with him to Kardaha, where Nityananda Prabhu used to stay. And Purushottam Das Thakur had 3 disciples, main disciples, Madhvacharya, Yadavacharya, and Devakinandan Das. And Devakinandan Das Ji is that same personality, Gopal Chapal, who had offended Srivas Thakur, but then he rectified himself, blessed by Lord Chaitanya. And then he decided to dedicate his life only for the glorification of the Vaishnavas. He even wrote a book. And he has a famous bhajan. What is that? Pardon? No, there's one more. Only singing the glories of Vaishnavas. Vrindavana Vasi Chatta Vaishnaviragan. So it is said that anybody who sings that bhajan can be freed from the Vaishnava pras that one has committed knowingly and unknowingly. So that bhajan is, and if you read that bhajan, it's only, he's just glorifying the Vaishnavas. He says, even one devotee of Lord Chaitanya is enough to deliver the whole universe. So he had offended a devotee and got the reaction. Then he decided to dedicate his life to just glorify the devotees. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakurji writes, so the daughter of Lord Nityananda. Her name was Ganga Devi. She was married to Madhvacharya, who was the disciple of Purushottam Das Thakur. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakurji writes in his Anubhashya commentary on Chaitanya Charitamrita, all the deities which were installed by Purushottam Das Thakur were formerly situated in a village called Beledan Gram. And then the temple was destroyed. They were shifted to Sukhasagar, which was, I think, near Kardaha. Yes. So, where Janava Ma used to live, wife of Lord Nityananda. And that temple also merged in the bed of the Ganges. And the deities were brought with Janava Ma's deities to Sahib Sangha Bedi Gram. Since that place also has been destroyed, the deities are now situated in a village called Chandude Gram, which is like 1 mile up from Palapad, some place in Bengal. So, this is something about Srila Purushottam Das Thakur. We don't have much information, but whatever is available. And today also happens to be the disappearance day of Srila Gaura Govinda Swami Maharaj. He was one of the most powerful preachers that ISKCON has ever seen. He appeared in the village of Jagannathpura, which was close to Jagannath Puri. But because his mother was from a very small, sweet village called Gadayagiri in Odisha, so he spent his childhood in that village. And he spent his childhood just in a very, very devotional atmosphere. That Gadayagiri village is still known as the village of the Kirtaniyas. And he belonged to a Giri family. And the king of Odisha had made them in charge of the Kirtans at Jagannath temple, where they should come and regularly sing. So his family was blessed with the presence of a very sweet deity of Krishna called Gopaljiu, who had come from Vrindavan. And he grew up worshipping that deity. So Gaura Govinda Maharaj, his childhood name was Brajbandhu. And like other children, he was never ever interested in childish play. His only play would be just taking part in Sankirtan. So Kirtan would go on in their villages all night, and he would go with the Sankirtan party, even though he would have his exams the next day. But he would get excellent marks also. And same thing with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakurji also. So, by the age of 7, Brajbandhu, who is Gaura Govinda Maharaj, he had learned the Bhagavad Gita, he had learned the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he had learned Srimad Bhagavatam. He could explain also. At night, he would just sit with his family, he would explain to them stories from Gita, Mahabharata, Bhagavat, Ramayana, and Mahabharata. So, this was his early childhood, and he was never ever interested in any kind of play. So when he grew up in that village, worshipping his dear deity, he would make garlands for him. He would worship him with candlelight because there was no electricity. And that was the kind of devotional atmosphere he was growing in. So when he grew up, by the desire of his mother, he entered Grihastha Ashram. He took up the profession of a teacher. And he had... he did BA, then he did B.Ed. He got married, but during the summer season, because he had read Chaitanya Charitamrita, and his only goal in life now was to teach the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he also knew that he needed a guru. He was looking for a guru. So every summer vacation, he would take his wife and he would visit the different holy places, especially Rishikesh, because that's been like the hub of spirituality. So he would visit and he would request people. He would meet many gurus. He would debate with them. And he would request sometimes people to give him sannyas, but they would never agree. And he also didn't find anybody qualified enough to be his guru. So at one point of time during one of his visits, and he would also have many, many experience with the with some mystics in Rishikesh. Once he was coming back from Rishikesh, he went to the ticket counter. He had to purchase a ticket back to Odisha. So ticket was like a few rupees, and this person was demanding almost three times the cost. So he said, but the cost is this, and this person kept on insisting, no, you have to pay this much, otherwise I'm not giving you the ticket. He kept on refusing. Then he was just standing. He came out, and then he looked up, and he saw that same person in the sky. So he realized it was the same yogi whom he had encountered in the Himalayas, in Rishikesh, the mountains, who had come to trouble him as a person sitting at the counter. So he had many such experiences. So in one of his visits to Rishikesh, one of the Mayavadi sannyasis, he agreed to give him sannyas. So he said, all right. So next time he agreed, and he left everything. His wife was not home, she was at her parents' home. And that day, he distributed a lot of charity. And people were standing in queue. So at the end of the queue, an old lady dressed up in white, she came and to beg charity from Brajbandhuji, Gaur Govind Maharaj. And that lady said, oh, my dear son, only you are capable of leaving me. Because right from his childhood, he was only absorbed in pure devotional service. Nothing else. Even when his family would go to watch some natak or drama, he would get very angry with them. So this old lady said, oh, my dear child, only you are capable of leaving me. And Maharaj just folded his hands. He was a grihastha at that time. He said, oh, my dear mother, please bless me. And then he left. So years later, Gaur Govind Maharaj told his disciples in an intimate conversation that lady was none other than Mayadevi herself. So he left home with the blessings of Mayadevi. And then he went to Rishikesh, that particular ashram, but he wasn't allowed. Because by that time, that guru who had promised him, he had passed away. Then he was thinking, what to do? My life is useless if I don't get a guru. So he decided, one last shot. Let me go to Vrindavan. It is Krishna's land. Maybe I'll get something. So he went to Vrindavan. He was roaming around the area of Raman Rethi, where he saw a huge billboard and International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Some Western disciples of Prabhupada gave him a Back to Godhead magazine. And when he read the contents of the Back to Godhead magazine, he went through the subject matter. He was highly impressed. He wanted to meet the guru of the Hare Krishna movement. He came, and right outside Prabhupada's room, it was a construction site, but Prabhupada's room was there. So Brahmanand Maharaj was sitting. So he requested to be allowed an audience with Prabhupada. Brahmanand Maharaj refused because he didn't want Prabhupada to be disturbed. So Gaur Govind Maharaj just fell at his feet. He was already dressed up like a sadhu, looking for somebody who could give him sannyas. He was thinking, somebody should give me sannyas. It doesn't matter even if it's a Mayavadi. I'll take sannyas, whoever gives me, and then I will preach Mahaprabhu's message. So that was his determination. I just want sannyas and then just want to preach. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took sannyas from Keshav Bharati, who was from Mayavadi school. But then he preached Krishna's message, Krishna Bhakti. So Gaur Govind Maharaj just fell at his feet, and he had given him a different name, Gaur Gopalananda Das. When he left home and wore the dress of a sadhu, he also changed his name from Brajabandhu to Gaur Gopalananda Das. And he fell flat at Brahmananda Maharaj's feet, said, please allow me to see. I have been looking for a guru. Allow me to see your guru. When he went in front of Prabhupada, he paid obeisances. Prabhupada looked at him. He said, okay, so have you taken sannyas? Well, that was the only thing in his mind. He said, no. He said, I will give you sannyas. And this was in 1974 when he was 46 years old. So 46 years old, he came to ISKCON. And next year, on the installation day of Krishna Balaram, Prabhupada gave him sannyas, and he was given the name Gaur Govinda Swami. And then Prabhupada gave him three instructions: to translate his books into original language, to establish a temple at Bhuvaneshwar, and to preach all over the world. And he fulfilled all three. So when he went to Bhuvaneshwar, it was a jungle filled with ferocious animals, snakes, scorpions, and whoever went with him, Prabhupada had sent, they just came back. They said, it is impossible. But he stayed back. And sometimes he would stay in the storeroom of a tea stall, sometimes in the with the construction workers, but he kept on working hard. Sometimes he would walk 20 kilometers every day from house to house, office to office, collecting small donations. And after 20 years of hard work, he managed to establish a Krishna Balaram temple in Bhuvaneshwar. And later on he had a dream where he saw Krishna walking on the highway of that, in front of that temple. And then he went and he saw one girl and he stood in front of him and he was smiling. That was Radharani. So he said, now I think Krishna wants Radharani. Then he established Radha Gopinath. So two sets of deities. Then one night he had a dream where his Gadayagiri Gopalji deity, which he had worshipped from his childhood, he appeared and he was beating him up with a stick. Said, what is this going on? You have left me in Gadayagiri, in that village. You have built a nice temple for your deities here. What about me? I cannot leave Gadayagiri because I am the only wealth of those villagers. So do something for me also. Then he said, all right. And then Gopal asked, who is important for you, me or Gopinath? And Gaur Govind Maharaj said, I folded my hands, you my lord. So then do something for me also. And then he went to Gadayagiri and eventually the land came to ISKCON, and then he built a beautiful temple for him also. So 1979, he was in one Kirtan festival and suddenly he fainted. And some people were speculating. One person said maybe he was possessed by a ghost. But then Akinchan Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, Prabhupada's godbrother, he came to Mayapur and he saw, this is Krishna Prem. Very casually he said, because it takes one to know one. He said, this is Krishna Prem. And then he laughed and went away. So Gaur Govind Maharaj stayed in that stage of ecstasy for 4 months. And very few people know the intimate details of what happened. Sometimes he would start dancing like he was a gopi. Sometimes he would look at his hands. What is this? Disciple would say, this is material body. He would look at it with disgust. And so one Kaviraj came and said that he had actually entered Krishna's pastimes. So either he will leave this world in 79, or if he continues to survive, he will become a world-class preacher. And by Krishna's grace, he survived. And after 4 months, one Kaviraj said that this influence of Mayapur is keeping him in this state of ecstasy. You better take him out of Mayapur. Then he was taken to Odisha, Bhuvaneshwar, and then his preaching took on another turn. Then he became very, very, we hear the lectures of Gaur Govind Maharaj, he's shouting and chastising people. It happened after that. And in 1996, he had traveled the world 11 times, 11 years he traveled. He went, I think, in 84 for the first time. And 1995, 96, he was giving a lecture. He said, you know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said that this world is not a place for a gentleman. So he left prematurely. And I may also leave. So I don't know. I'll ask Gopal. Then he went to Gadayagiri to take darshan of his deity from there. Came back to Bhuvaneshwar. Then he spoke like for 4 days, very powerfully. Then it was the time of GBC meetings in Mayapur. It was 9th February that year, the appearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that tithi. And early evening, some two devotees wanted to meet him because they had read his books. And they asked a question, why did Lord Chaitanya stay at Jagannath Puri? And he became very ecstatic. He started explaining the significance, how this represents the land of highest bhava. This was like Krishna when he first met Radharani at Kurukshetra. His eyes became big in ecstasy. His limbs, they just shrunk into his body. And this was eye-to-eye reunion. And then he started crying. He said, I cannot speak. And he's just laid down on his bed. His last instructions was, Kirtan, Kirtan. And one of his disciples gave the picture of Gopal in his hands. And he looked at it. And he said, Gopal. And then he just peacefully left this world on this day. His Holiness Gaur Govind Maharaj ki jai. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the spiritual master of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he appeared in 1874, 6th Feb, at 3:30 p.m. in the most holy land of Jagannath Puri, which is not far from Jagannath Temple, at Grand Trunk Road. So, he was the fourth son of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, another great Acharya. And when he appeared, the astrologer was called. He saw all the 32 symptoms of a great soul on his body. And when he was born, his umbilical cord was wrapped around his neck like a Brahman thread. And he was an answer to the prayers that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakurji was making to Krishna to send one of his associates to this world to help him in the preaching mission. So when he was 6 months old, Rath Yatra was taking place. And the Jagannath Rath cart stood in front of his house for 3 days continuously, didn't move. So Bhaktivinoda Thakurji was a district magistrate and he requested his wife, Bhagavati Devi, to bring the child in front of Jagannath. As soon as the child was placed in front of Jagannath, a garland from Jagannath fell encircling the child, and that's when everyone understood this was a special child, special blessing of Lord Jagannath. And Bhaktivinoda Thakurji understood at that point it was the same ray of Vishnu which he was always praying for. It was an answer. This child was an answer to his prayers. And on, right on the Rath cart, his Annaparashan ceremony was done, and the first grains that he ate was Jagannath Prasad. So this is how his life started. And just to check his vocational inclination, this sanskar is also, even it was performed for Mahaprabhu. Some articles were placed in front of him, and he immediately grabbed Srimad Bhagavatam, and everyone understood he would be a great preacher of life's greatest mission. And this samskar actually works, because some years back I went to one family. So one girl had delivered, and 6 months, so I had carried some sweet rice. So I never really thought about it, that this actually works. But she had read somewhere after the sweet rice was given to him, 6 months, and he was eating like he was hungry forever. So he ate like 2 bowls of sweet rice. And he wanted more. 6 months old child. And this child was also born on Janmashtami. Before that we had done a Bhagavat Sapta, and he was born on Janmashtami. So he ate so much that he wanted more. We had to just stop. And this girl had kept, he said, Prabhuji, we want to try this. I mean, I have read this, let's do this also. I said, okay. So she had kept Hanuman Chalisa, one pen, one some mud, and 100 rupee note. Just to check his future inclination. And I was shocked to see that this child was very restless, but when this was brought in, he became very serious. This is how the Lord has built that system. And this is all very scientific. So he just became quiet, and he was constantly looking at those articles very seriously. And after about a minute and a half, or 2 minutes, he put his hand on 100 rupees note. And the family was very happy, because it's a Marwari family, so somebody to carry on has been born. So they were very excited. So when 2-3 years, he was 2-3 years old, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was given the name Bimla Prasad. Bimla Prasad is the internal potency of Lord Jagannath. So the mercy of Bimla Devi. And when he was only 2-3 years old, his father brought some mangoes and he just picked up one mango, like children do. I said, what is this? Bhaktivinoda Thakur gravely said, new fruit has come into the house. Giridhari has not eaten yet. And you have picked up? This is not right. And that day, just 2-3 year old, and we have people in this world who take New Year resolutions every 1st Jan and they break them by 31st January. And he was just 2-3 years old. He took a vow. Never again in his life he would eat a mango. And he followed it to the core till the last breath. Whenever somebody would offer him a mango, he would say, no, I am an offender. I cannot take it. And people were surprised to see that even though he was like 2-3 years old, 4 years, whenever his father, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakurji, would discourse, he would sit with rapt attention and keep hearing. And they didn't know what was so special about him. How could a child be so attentive and so absorbed? By 7 years, he had memorized the entire Gita and he could give explanations to all the verses as well. And it was at this time when Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakurji was building Bhakti Kutir, Bhakti Bhavan in Kolkata. When they were digging, they found a deity of Kurmadev. And Bhaktivinoda Thakurji gave that deity to his son at the age of 7 to worship, because Kurmadeva provides stability to devotional service. Then he gradually learned publishing and proofreading, because his father was publishing Sajjan Toshni, the magazine. At 11 years of age, he toured all the holy places of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes with his father. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a Shrutidhar. He would hear anything once and he would remember it forever. He would repeat verbatim whenever he would be asked. And in Rampura village, he was trained in mathematics and astrology. And he was so brilliant that at that time his teacher gave him the name Siddhanta Saraswati. So he would never ever study his assignments. He would replace them with books of Narottam Das Thakur, Prem Bhakti Chandrika, Prarthana and other works of our Vaishnava Acharyas. But when he would write an exam, he would get excellent marks as well. So when he was in his 7th standard, he was almost 13 years old. His father, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakurji, gave him Tulsi beads from Jagannath Puri. He also gave him Harinam and a Narsingha mantra to chant, which this practice he followed. Throughout. Even though Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakurji became expert in 6 systems of philosophy and he was already a great scholar, but to learn grammar, he approached one teacher named Prithvidhar Sharma, and he was so impressed, he asked him to read one particular book. It was known as Siddhanta Kaumudi. Throughout his life related to grammar. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him frankly that my life is for the single pointed cultivation of teachings of Lord Chaitanya, not grammar, he said. He was a powerful preacher and he was like non-compromising. When in Jagannath Puri there was one Babaji, one sadhu, who was into that Apasampradaya sect, many had popped up after Lord Chaitanya's disappearance, Sahajyas, and he spoke strongly against him. He was like the leader, held in high esteem. And there was huge uproar, but he didn't budge. So at that time, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakurji told him to go to Mayapur and do some bhajan. That would be good for his future preaching. And he came to the place where nowadays Sri Chaitanya Math is situated. And he sat down, he took a vow to chant like 10 billion or 1 billion names of Krishna. He built a small hut and he would constantly be chanting. And even if it would rain, he would just take an umbrella and go on chanting. He wouldn't just go around and look for shelter. And he was living in complete ecstasy, like an avadhuta, like a madman. So once one person came from Kolkata, he had heard about him, that there is this sadhu from the villagers also. He found out his whereabouts. Where is this? Suddenly they saw him. There he is. And He was having long beard and he was ran. Gauranga! And he was running towards Gangaji and he jumped into Ganga with his clothes. And this person was thinking, he is the sadhu who I am supposed to ask for preaching. Then he came out after some time. He said, let's go and start preaching and this and that. So Bhakti Siddhanta said, hey, why do you want to preach? Can't you see Gauranga, Nityananda, all the Panchatattva, they are there, they are dancing. And he ran, Gauranga! And he just went back to Kolkata. And of course, we can go on speaking about Bhakti Siddhanta, but some whatever little we can speak in whatever time we have. Eventually, a time came where, of course, he accepted Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj as his spiritual master. He was the only disciple of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And a time came where Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Ji disappeared from this world. And Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji also disappeared. And he felt like an orphan because there was no bona fide guru around that time. And Lord Chaitanya's birth site had been discovered by Bhaktivinoda Thakur Ji. And he had built some small shrine over there. So he was really worried. He was kind of lamenting the loss of his greatest teachers. So he was sitting in Yogapeet, the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, one fine day. And suddenly, with the breeze, a palm leaf or a paper came flying to him. And this was actually a verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because he was thinking, what to do now? What should we do? And when he was initiated, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji had given him the instruction to go out and fearlessly preach. Even though Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was a bhajanandi, he would never preach. He was an illiterate from the material standard, but he knew all the shastras by heart, the conclusions. But when Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ji came to him, he told him to fearlessly go and preach. That was the instruction given to him at the time of initiation. So Bhakti Siddhanta Ji was sitting in Yogapeet, lamenting the loss of his two of his greatest spiritual preceptors. And he was feeling the separation. And he didn't know what to do now, how he would be able to accomplish the mission. Then this verse came flying to him, which read, because he wanted some direction, what to do now. So that verse spoke about preaching, that he should simply go out and preach. And as he was contemplating, suddenly he heard a noise, some sound of huge sankirtan taking place. And then what does he see? This is explained in Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhav. And these details he explained to discuss with his intimate disciples only. He was sitting and he heard this roaring kirtan. And then what does he see? He sees a huge sankirtan party entering Yogapeet. And who was leading the sankirtan? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. He was accompanied by the six Goswamis. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was there. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was there. All the previous acharyas were there. And all the other associates of Lord Chaitanya. A huge sankirtan took place. And they came and told him, said, don't you worry. Go out and preach. Whenever you need men, we will send. And then he decided, this is the time now. He took sannyas, because there was nobody else qualified to give him sannyas. Then he went to Kolkata. That same person who had approached him earlier for preaching. He knocked on the door. And he was standing as a sannyasi. He said, let's go out and preach now. And that disciple later on became one of his closest disciples, Kunj Bihari Das Ji. And he was one of the two closest people to him. One of the many closest people, of course. But he was one of the initial people, the first people who helped Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ji to establish the mission. So once this Jananyavas Prabhu mentioned this pastime, and one disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Damodar Maharaj, he had narrated this to Jananivas Prabhu. He said, once me and Prabhupada, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ji, were walking, and suddenly he just stood and he was looking at the sky constantly. And then he said, how degraded this age of Kali Yuga is becoming. He said, even on moon planet they are becoming so degraded. So he could see what was happening on the moon planet as well. And fearless preacher, Prabhupada explained that his guru's preaching technique was a chopping technique. No compromise. And before Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakurji, he said he was a Vaikuntha man, what can I say? And had a very close relationship with Srila Prabhupada. And the first meeting at Ultadanga Junction in Kolkata, where Srila Prabhupada, when he was known as Abhay Charanarvind, in the very first meeting itself, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta gave him the instruction to preach the message of Lord Chaitanya in English language. And thus he laid down the foundation for ISKCON. And he took the principle of Yukta Vairagya to another level, because at that time a lot of people, Sahajiyas, they were taking things cheaply. They were talking big things, but not posing as big renunciants, but not following the principles. So just to oppose them, he drove into Radhakund, which is like the highest place of renunciation. He drove in a motor car, wearing leather shoes and a full overcoat, and like a Babu. In those days, they used to call people dressed up like that as Babu. And just to make a statement to all these imposters that bhakti is not about externally, you renounce internally. He built a western toilet in Radhakund. And it is still there. And devotees go to take darshan of that toilet. It has become a holy place because it was used to preach. It was used for preaching. So it is worshipable now. The only toilet in the world which is worshipable. And when we go to Radhakund, we can take darshan. It is still there. And his swing on which he used to sit on, that swing is also there. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So he taught by his own example that bhakti is not about externals. It is about the internal spirit. Renunciation is not about externals. It is about the internal spirit. It's not about giving up. It's about utilizing what you have, whatever facilities you have, in the service of Krishna. Yuktam vairagyam uchyate. And Srila Prabhupada took it to another level. He did Jagannath Rath Yatra in trucks, flatbed trucks, and he converted the castles and buildings into temples. Before that, the idea was temple means a dome, 2-3 domes, and at a typical look. But Prabhupada converted small places, buildings, castles also into temples. So, in the eternal leela of Lord Sri Krishna, although there is a lot that can be spoken, but something most important after this. See, in the eternal leela of the Lord, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur serves as the Naina Mani Manjari. So he is the incarnation of the glance of Srimati Radharani. And that glance is so powerful because that glance conquers Krishna. That's why when he came down also, in a personified form, he was so powerful. So because everything in the spiritual world is a personality. Like Madhavendra Puriji, who is the root of the desire tree of Lord Chaitanya, he is the incarnation of a Kalpa Vriksha from the spiritual world. So when we sit here, we're thinking, oh, I have to become a tree. But even the trees of the Golok Vrindavan, they are the highest acharyas. So the glance of Srimati Radharani, she is manifested as Naina Mani Manjari. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta ji was the incarnation of that Manjari, Naina Mani Manjari. And he accepted it also. Twice, once his disciple had a dream, and he wrote it to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta ji, that I had a dream where I saw you as a Naina Mani Manjari. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta ji quietly accepted it. And then he also mentions that, yes, Sri Vrishabhanu Nandini, which is Radharani, always keeps this maid servant of hers by her side. And in 1936, he departed from this world. And he said that he would have lived 10 more years, but he was not happy with the situation. So he was leaving this world prematurely. So before we end, I would like to read 25 important instructions of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which many of us have come across, but they are very powerful. So I thought I'll just read out and remind ourselves the principles that he preached. And they are very inspiring also. So, number one, he says, we are put to test and trial in this world. We are put to test and trial in this world. Only those who attend the kirtana of the devotees can succeed. Each instruction is like a sutra, very, very powerful. Every spot on earth where discourses on God are held is a place of pilgrimage. Possession of objects not related to Krishna is our main malady. Let me not desire anything but the greatest good for my worst enemies. As dalliance with the body in luxury increases, so wins the spirit of service of the Lord. Those favored by God find their paths set by thorns. 7. There is no peace or happiness in our worldly life. Circumstances create turmoil and annoyance. 8. Chant the Maha Mantra loudly and with attachment. This will drive away inertia, worldly evils and pests. I don't know which pests. 9. Be indifferent to bazaar gossips. Stick firmly to your cherished goals. No lack or impediments of the world will ever stand in your way. 10. Pay due respects to the extroverts of the world, but do not be appreciative of their manners and conduct. They are to be shaken off from your mind. 11. A devotee feels the presence of God everywhere, but one averse to the Lord denies his existence everywhere. 12. You cannot appreciate transcendental matters with the reasoning of the world. It is sheer nonsense to decry them with the measuring stick of your intellect. 13. To recite the name of Sri Krishna is bhakti. 14. Life is for the glorification of topics on Hari. If that is stopped, then what need is there to carry on life? 15. Physical illness with Hari Bhajan is preferred to physical fitness without Hari Bhajan. Revolutionary. 16. Our span of life on earth is short. Our life will be crowned with success if the body wears out with constant discourses on Hari. 17. We are here on earth not to work as artisans for making big buildings with wood and stone, but to work only as messengers for the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Dev. 18. A sycophant is neither a guru or a preacher. 19. To transform the adverse desires of the jivas is the supreme duty of the most merciful. To rescue one person from the stronghold of Mahamaya is an act of superb benevolence, far superior to opening innumerable hospitals. 20. Unless we are devoted to God, secularism shall not leave us. 21. Look within, amend yourself, rather than pry into the frailties of others. 22. In this world of Maya, averse to the Lord, full of trials and tribulations, only patience, humility, and respect for others are our friends for Hari Bhajan. 23. The Lord Gaurasundara puts his devotees in various difficulties and associations, to test their patience and strength of mind. Success depends on their good fortune. 24. When faults in others misguide and delude you, have patience, introspect, find faults in yourself. Know that others cannot harm you unless you harm yourself. 25. I wish that every selfless, tender-hearted person of Gaudiya Math will be prepared to shed 200 gallons of blood for the nourishment of the spiritual corpus of every individual of this world. श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर गोस्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद की जय। श्रील पुरुषोत्तम दास ठाकुर की जय। श्रील गौर गोविंद महाराज की जय। श्रीमद भागवतम की जय।
हरे कृष्णा। थैंक यू फॉर वंडरफुल क्लास। वी हैव एन अनाउंसमेंट। सो वी विल बी सेलिब्रेटिंग द वंडरफुल फेस्टिवल्स टुडे। एट 11:30 वी विल बिगिन विद भजन्स हियर ग्लोरिफाइंग their lordships and the acharyas, and we will be singing that bhajan Vrindavanam Yativat Vaishnavirajan, that also. And then at 12:15 we will have the Pushpanjali, and 12:30 followed by Aarti, and then there will be Prasadam. Hare Krishna.